Good morning. It is so good to be with you again today. If I didn't meet you last week, my name is John Corshane, and I'm here this morning with my family, my wife Steph, Brady and Kenzie. And Brady's in eighth grade, and Kenzie is in seventh grade. And we live in Lititz, Pennsylvania, so they're part of the Warwick School District. And I was thinking this morning, we have been serving in one way or another in the BIC Church for about 20 years. About half of that is as lay leaders, leading youth ministry and children's ministry. And then I was called to ministry about 10 years ago, and I've been serving since then, most of that time at Speedwell Heights Church in Lititz. So it is really good to be with you again today. And if you didn't hear last week, we do have a family connection here. Arlene Nelson is my grandmother-in-law, so I am proud of that. And so we are just so happy to be here and to connect with this family again. So thank you for having us. I'm going to start with just an introduction story this morning. And it's about a dog. And this dog is actually pretty amazing because he walked into a butcher shop one day and he was carrying a purse in his mouth. So he puts the purse down, you know, right in front of the meat case, and the butcher's kind of looking at this dog and thinking to himself, what is going on here? So, you know, he jokingly asked the dog, are you here to buy some meat? And the dog replies, woof. It's like, okay. Well, what type of meat are you looking for? Are you looking for liver? Are you looking for bacon? Are you looking for steak? Woof. Okay, steak. Well, how much steak do you need? Are you looking for a half a pound? Are you looking for a full pound? Woof. Okay. So this amazed butcher, he wraps up this steak in a container, and he looks in the purse, and the money that is needed to make the purchase is there. And he thinks to himself, wow, this is pretty interesting. I'm going to follow this dog and see where the dog goes. So he follows him down the street, and he eventually enters this apartment building, and the dog goes up to the third floor. And this butcher is like thinking, where is this dog going? And finally, he scratches at one of the doors. And this man opens the door, and he just starts yelling. And the butcher's like, what are you doing? Stop, stop. This is the most amazing dog I've ever seen. He is a genius. And he goes, he's a genius? This is the third time this week he's forgotten his key. You see, this man that owned the dog, he was not one that was grateful. He is not one that would do well this week as we celebrate Thanksgiving. And we look back over the year and all of the ways that God has provided for us. All of the amazing things that he's done in our lives. And I have to admit, standing before you today, it can be hard every single day to be able to take that step back and look at all that God is doing, right? It is so much easier to focus on the things around us that are not going exactly to plan. But that is what God wants us to do. He wants us to have gratitude. He wants us to see all of the ways that we have been truly blessed. So to talk about this morning, we're going to open up our Bibles to Luke 17. And in this passage, we're going to see this group of men that need healing. And we're going to look at this and we're going to see, why are there times in our personal lives where, let's just be honest, we are ungrateful? We have a hard time looking to see all of the blessings that God has given us. And we really struggle living with gratitude. So we're going to look at Luke 17. We're going to start in verse number 11. It says this, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. So Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem, and he comes across these 10 men that have leprosy. Now, throughout history, there are few diseases that would be as dreaded as this horrible affliction. And this disease would have first been noticed by some discoloration on a patch of skin. And then it would start to spread wildly in all directions. And portions of people's eyebrows would disappear. Then there would be these tumors that would start to grow on the face and on the body. There'd be deformity in the hands and feet. And actually, the tissue and the bone in the hands and feet would start to deteriorate and start to disappear. And this was just the beginning of the problems. Because over time, people would actually lose sensitivity in their hands and feet. So they would hurt their extremities and not even know it. So you can imagine the damage that this would continue to do to body parts. And this was a disease that would run its course over about 30 years. And I can't imagine, with all of the things that we have today in our medical field, what it would have been like to live this way 2,000 years ago, where they wouldn't have had access to any of the health care that we do now. And this was a disease at the time that would have been greatly feared by the Israelites. And it wasn't just because of the physical damage that it would do, but if you came across this disease and you contacted the disease, you would actually have these strict limitations on your life. You would be forced to live in isolation. You would live as a feared outcast of society. And these were common enough that way back in the Old Testament, as God is giving the law to Moses, these are things that God speaks to. And he gives Moses all kinds of instructions on what to do in cases of leprosy and other skin diseases that were similar. So we could actually look back. We're not going to do this today. But if we go back to Leviticus 13 and 14, it would give all the rules on what to do when you had cases of skin disease. So this is just a passage from Leviticus. It says this: those who suffer from a serious skin disease must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and call out, unclean, unclean. As long as the serious disease lasts, they will be ceremonially unclean. They must live in isolation in their place outside the camp. So because they were shunned by society, people with leprosy tended to roam together. They were looking for food. They would beg for assistance, but it was always from a great distance. So they would be yelling with these loud voices so that they could warn others, don't get too close. But they were also asking for the help that they needed just to meet the basic necessities of life. So what would it have been like to be so removed from friends and family for a lifetime, and then forced to announce that on a daily basis? Because if anyone got anywhere close, you would have to start screaming and say, unclean, unclean. So you can imagine the horrible life that this led people to. So we have this account of 10 men that encounter Jesus, and they're dealing with this disease. And they scream from a distance to Jesus. They must have heard the stories of all of the healings that he had been doing in different places. So they scream. They say, we want to be well. And they're asking Jesus to meet the need that right now they perceive to be the greatest need in their life. And the teacher responds in a way that might seem unusual to us, right? He tells him, he goes, go and see the priest. Like, go and see the priest. Like, if that happened today and someone says to you, go see the pastor, no, go to the doctors first, okay? We're here to pray for you, but I can't help you with the skin disease. I'm sorry. But that's what they say. They say, go and show yourself to the priests. Because in those days, the local priest, he kind of did double duty, okay? He was in charge of the temple and of teaching and running services. But they also were kind of like the local health inspector. So if you ran into a disease like this and you were showing signs of this, you would go and you would show yourself to the priest. And they were the ones that would say, yes, yes, you have this skin disease. You need to leave and be an outcast until we determine that, you know, this isn't going to be a big deal for you. And then if you did have one of these lifelong skin diseases, and all of a sudden you were healed, these were the people that you would go to. These were the people that would look for that healing and say, yes, you have been healed. And then they would tell you, go. Go and go through the ritual washing, and then you're free to go back to your families, to your children. You're free to go back to the life that you used to live. And we have a handful of stories in the Bible where this happened. And we have to imagine when Jesus was doing healing in all of these different places, that he came across people with skin diseases and leprosy, and he healed them. And their lives were forever changed. So this group of men, they start to head off in search of the priests. And did you catch the small detail at the end of verse 14? Because it said this, and as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. So it was almost like in order for the miracle to happen, the men had to start walking in faith that if they started going towards the priests, that they would be healed. And you can picture that as they're walking, they're slowly being healed. One tiny bit of them is changing. So maybe a hand starts to straighten out, and maybe it starts to tingle, and there's feeling in there that they haven't felt in a long time. Maybe a crutch that they were using is suddenly thrown to the ground because their leg is straight again, and they're able to walk without the crutch. Maybe the tiny hairs on their arms that have turned that bright white color, you know, showing that sign of leprosy, maybe they're back to brown again. And you can picture these men as they're going, and they're seeing the changes of the other individuals that they're walking with, and they're looking at themselves. Can you imagine the joy? I'm sure there would have been screaming and cheering. There probably would have been crying, just so filled of joy. Because the thing that they have been waiting for, the thing that they thought would never, ever happen, has occurred. They have been healed. The nightmare is finally over. So 10 men healed. Their lives forever changed. But only one returns to Jesus. We're going to talk about him in a few minutes. But I wonder about the other nine. What were they doing? Jesus said in verse 17, he said, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give glory to God?" And for some reason, these men did not come back to say thank you, to show gratitude, to give thanks to Jesus. And I want to speculate a little bit on why that is. But more importantly, I want to really look at some of the reasons why we often don't show God gratitude when God has been faithful, when God has shown up in amazing ways in our lives, and we haven't shown the gratitude that maybe we should have. So this is the first one. We're just too busy. In the rush to accomplish, we sometimes just forget to meditate on God's goodness, especially in the victories along the way. We are so prone to hurry, and we hurry through even significant events and even through significant people in our lives, those that we should spend more time with. We're typically in a rush that we don't even spend the time that we need to. And because of this, it's really often that we don't spend that few minutes just to reflect on God's goodness, which we know when we do it, it strengthens our spirit of thankfulness. So these nine men, they had places to go, right? They're making a beeline to the temple to find the priest so that they can be pronounced clean. Because once that's accomplished, they have a lot of other things they want to do. They've been thinking about this the whole time they've been sick, so they want to get back to their families. They have people that they want to see. They want their life to get back to normal. And how often does that happen in our own lives? That we miss out on the opportunity to thank God for all he has done. And it's simply because we don't make it a priority. So if we want to be thankful, if we want to live gracious lives where we are so grateful for what God has done, we have to live life at a different pace. We need to take moments throughout our day where we just step back and take a breath and look at all that God is doing around us. And now some of you may have different habits with this. If you're one that loves to write things down, if you're one that likes to journal, man, how good would it be for you to just start making a list of all of the ways God has been faithful? Or if you like to write more than that, that's even better. You know, to write paragraphs of stories. You know, we were hearing some already this morning of ways God's working through children's here. Just to write these stories down. And aren't those so helpful when maybe we don't feel so grateful to just go back and to read those again and to remember God's faithfulness? Now, some of you, maybe you're techie, okay? So writing down on a piece of paper, that's just not going to happen. That's fine. Just open up a document, right? Open up a document. Just type in what God has done. Maybe you have an app on your phone where you like to take notes. What if one of those notes was just all kinds of ways that God has blessed you, things that you're thankful for? And just keep that list going. And just pray through that, thanking God for all he has done. As we do this, we'll start thanking God for the beauty of his creation. We'll start thanking God for those moments in life where we're just standing and we're watching individuals in front of us, and it just brings us to joy to see how God is working through someone and how it's impacting other people. I love to see that, when you're just able to step back and enjoy that. And we're going to just have a number of blessings every single day that we're going to experience and we're going to write down and we're going to realize, wow, God is up to so much more than we could ever imagine. But our pace has to get slower so that the possibility of gratitude becomes greater. Because then we will intentionally look to say thank you to God for all that he is doing. So that's the first one. We are busy. Here's the second one. This is another enemy of gratitude. It's pride. Pride is the belief that every good thing in our life is the result of something we have done. On 1 Peter 5:5, Peter says this, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So why does God hate pride so much? If we think about our Heavenly Father, he does everything possible to draw us to himself. But when we live a life that is full of pride, all it does is push God away. See, proud people, they think they deserve what is good. And the result is they don't feel like they need to be thankful for anything that they receive. And as a matter of fact, oftentimes they will complain, thinking that they've done so well that they should receive even more. So proudful people are often critical. They complain a lot, and there's a ton of discontent. A proud person is not in the habit of being thankful to God or to others. While on the other side of that, we have humility, which is the recognition that every good thing in our lives is the result of what God has done for us. So we've talked about our busyness. We've talked about our pride. And the last enemy of thankfulness that we're going to look at is comparison. And comparison works in two ways. The first one is this. Sometimes we just feel inadequate, that we are not enough. And we compare ourselves to others, and we wonder why we haven't been blessed in the same ways that they have. Because from the outside, their lives look perfect. And we would be able to choose gratefulness if our lives looked more like theirs. But then comparison can also work in a different way. Because sometimes we look at others and we say, you know what, we're better. We're actually more deserving. And if we look at these 10 men and the story that we read, it's interesting that the one man that comes back is a Samaritan. And if you don't know much about Samaritans, they were a racially mixed group of people. So they were partially Jewish, but they were also partially pagan. And this really separated them from the Jews. And Jewish people actually despised Samaritans. So it's interesting that this is the one person that comes back. And we could assume the other nine, that they were Jewish people. So when Jesus sends them away to the priest and the 10 men leave, it's interesting that the Samaritan even goes with them. Because there's no way that he would have been accepted at the priest when he got there. So I'm not really sure where he was going. And you know what? These other men that were traveling with him, maybe as they see him turn around to go back and thank Jesus, maybe they thought to themselves, well, yeah, you probably should. You see, we're Jewish people. We're God's chosen people. You're just a lowly Samaritan. You should go back because Jesus, he really shouldn't even have spent a moment with you. And it's interesting that these 10 men that were traveling together, that were begging together, that were looking for the things that they needed for each day, all of a sudden, now that they're healed, they're separate again. We're Jewish and we're going our way, and you're Samaritan and you're going the other way. So when we are busy comparing ourselves to others, we miss out on thanking God for his faithfulness and his provision. So these are just a few of the enemies of thankfulness, and I'm sure we could come up with a lot more as we would sit here today. And we don't know exactly why these nine men did not come back and thank Jesus. But we can see by what Jesus says that he's a little disappointed that they don't. But what if we're on the other side of this? Because there are things that keep us from being thankful, but there are blessings and power when we choose to live a life that's focused on gratitude. When we decide to make thankfulness a priority, to live humbly, when we decide we're not going to compare ourselves to others. So here's one of the blessings. The first is this. We experienced a refocused heart. Gratefulness gets our eyes off of ourselves. It helps us to put the focus back on God. It reminds us that we are not in control, but we do serve a mighty God who is. It keeps us in a place of humility and dependence on him as we recognize how much we need him for. So thankfulness, it reminds us that God is the giver of all good gifts. You see, we live under this lie that we are to be fully self-sufficient. I don't read that in the Bible anywhere. That's something we're taught, but I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. We are to fully rely on God. So a grateful heart, it reminds us that God is our provider, that all blessings are gifts and graciously given by his hand. Here's the second blessing that we received. It's a changed attitude. See, when our attitude changes, it leaves little room for complaining because it's impossible to live with thankfulness and gratitude along with negativity and ungratefulness at the same time. And the focus of our hearts and minds are not on the issues and the problems that we're facing. Rather, we're taking time to reflect and remember the goodness of God. And when we're able to do this, this actually pushes the enemy away. And I don't know if you've seen this, but I feel like this has only got worse in recent years. Satan is looking to make us ungrateful. He is looking to make us look at the society around us and just complain about every single thing that's going on. And while it is not good and not all of it honors God, that is such an inroad into our hearts because it makes it really difficult for us to focus on the good things that God is doing. But we read this in the book of Psalms because if we're able to actually live with praise and thanksgiving, we can cause the enemy to flee. In Psalm 44, it says this, "Only by your power can we push back our enemies. Only in your name can we trample our foes. I do not trust in my bow. I do not count on my sword to save me. You are the one who gives us victory over our enemies. You disgrace those who hate us. O God, we give glory to you all day long and constantly praise your name. So we have a refocused heart, which is thankful to God for all things. We have a changed attitude, which keeps us from complaining and helps us battle and push away the enemy. And here's the final blessing that we're going to talk about today. It opens the door for continued blessing. Because when we invite God into our lives, when we invite his Spirit and his presence, it refreshes and renews us. God loves to give gifts to his children. He delights in our thankfulness, and he pours out his Spirit and favor on those that honor and give glory and gratitude to him. And you can imagine, when we have refocused heart, we have more blessings and continued blessings just because we're seeing the blessings that are already there. So these are just a few of the blessings, and again, we could look to so many more. Now, I mentioned earlier that it's God's desire to draw all people closer to himself. See, Jesus expected all 10 men to come and to show gratitude. And we've speculated a little bit why maybe they didn't come back. And I don't want to speculate on the condition of their hearts, right? We know that they trusted in Jesus enough that Jesus would heal them. We have no idea what they believed about Jesus beyond that. But one thing we can be certain of from this passage is that the Samaritan man was drawn closer to Jesus because he chose to return and to say thank you. In verse 19, we read this, "And Jesus said to the man, 'Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you.'" And it should be noted, "has healed you" could be translated another way. It could be translated, "has saved you." You see, all 10 men, their physical ailment, yeah, that was healed. But this Samaritan man, he had the opportunity to be thankful. And he didn't just do it in a little way. It says he came and he was loud about it. And we have that same opportunity, right? To be loud with our thankfulness to God. He put himself at Jesus' feet, thanking him for all that he had done. So we know that his life was not just changed by the healing of this physical ailment, but his life was changed. He was saved because he believed in who Jesus was. And this is the joy that our Heavenly Father wants in each of our lives. And it brings him joy, because if we can live in this way, we will resemble his Son Jesus even more. So in a day where people are more likely to complain about certain circumstances, the current state of our society, what if we truly lived out the words of 1 Thessalonians 5? Where it says this, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Can you imagine the witness to the world it would be if Christians actually truly lived this out each and every day? Can you imagine how contagious it would get for gratitude to spread not only through our church, but into our community? If we chose to live in this way, if we decided each day that we were going to set aside time to just focus and write down all of the things that we are thankful for, if we would allow God to refocus our hearts and our attitudes so that if we go out into the world and we have conversations with people, they're kind of scratching their head and they're thinking to themselves, why are these people so thankful? Why do they live a life that is so full of gratitude? What is it that they have in their life that I am missing right now? So I leave you with a question this morning. Will we choose gratitude. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are just so thankful that you are a good God. On that, when we were in a spot where there was no solution to our sin problem, that you sent your Son to live into this world. And he grew up to be a man that followed your will each and every day. And that took him to a cross where he gave his life for each and every one of us, Lord. So, Lord, we are just blown away by that free gift. And that just makes us thankful and full of gratitude this morning. And Lord, we know that your faithfulness goes well beyond that. So while we have all of these roadblocks that prevent us to living thankful lives, Lord, we just know that you are faithful, that you continue to walk beside us and make us more and more like Jesus. So help us to take steps to do that, to bring joy to you as we live faithfully as Christians and as followers of Jesus. And we pray through that, Lord, that you refocus our hearts, that you change our attitudes, and that more and more people will come to know you because we live differently in this world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.